Hi everyone, this is Gloria and I am live. And I'm live on the Heart of the City San Diego Facebook page. And I'm actually sitting here with my good friend Pamela Stevens. And
hi.
I have to tell you a little bit about Pamela because you guys, Pamela, I've known her for, gosh, I think I could say maybe 30 years now, something like that. It's been a long, long time.
Yes.
But she's been doing ministry even before I even came to know the Christ, you know, came to church, know Christ. before I started coming to church, she was already, you know, already in ministry and singing and things like that. And another thing that I wanted to share with you is she's one of my heroes. Like, she's a rock star, you know, been around for so many years. And someone that I looked up to for so many years. And I don't know if you guys, like, you know, when you have, like, this type of hero, right? And kind of like, you know, kind of like if I was, you know, really visiting with, you know, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith or something like that. You know what I mean?
I'm like, my goodness.
This is like rock star status, right? And you dream. You watch them minister and you watch them, you know, you kind of even watch them walk by in certain conferences and things. And you're like, you know, you dream of going to dinner with them. And you're like, wow. And I'm actually sitting here with her and talking with her. And I'm here at the home of Bernie Menchaca, who's another rock star OG hero of mine as well. It's, you know, so I'm just like in, like, you know, starstruck to the max today. And the things that happen behind the scenes, really. All of the behind the scenes conversations before we go live are just gems. You cannot replace it. You cannot get it from anywhere else. It's just real life stories and so encouraging. But, you know, with all that said, I want to just kind of bring the platform to my good friend Pamela, because she really has some things that she wants to share with you. And, you know, but before you share some of your gems and wisdom, you know, in the many years that you've been around churches and singing and worshiping and all of those things, mm-hmm. share a little bit about your personal life. Like, you know, give us a little background on you, you know, who you are and children and all that fun stuff.
Yes. Well, I'm a mom with four children, adults, children now, but, and one of my sons is with Jesus, my Jeremy, my angel. He's passed away at 17 years old and in the year 2000. And so I'm looking forward to the day when I am going to see him again. And I know that is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm a grandmother with 8 grandchildren. And just so blessed with my family. And talking about rock star, Gloria here is my superstar, and we have this thing between us that she calls me rock star and she's my superstar. She's amazing too, and just so blessed to be here with her and be able to spend this time together. You know, I grew up in church. I had a Christian mother, a godly mother, and I had 3 sisters, and my mother took us girls to church since we were very little. If there wasn't a church service, say a Wednesday night or a Sunday, mm-hmm. my mom would find a service. She would take us to a tent revival or a camp meeting somewhere.
Oh, precious.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Unfortunately, my dad, you know, he was a great dad. He was a responsible dad. He was wonderful, you know, but he hadn't received Jesus into his heart. And but he always encouraged my mom to go to church. He encouraged my mom to pay her tithes because he knew the principle of giving. And just we had a good home life. Just growing up, we have a lot of great memories, and yeah,
that's awesome.
Happy life, and it's because of my family and my friends and Jesus.
That's so most precious. Of all. Yeah, I think I've only got to know like one of your children. I think it was Amanda.
Yes, that's Amanda, my youngest.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's a singer. Yes. She's a rapper.
Yeah.
As well. She's a very talented young lady.
She's my miracle child. She Aww. Really is. She was born in Hawaii when we were in the ministry, and it was a very hard pregnancy that I had. I was later in life when I was a little older, so, you know, our bodies change. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there was a point where we both could have died. And I was bedridden. I was in the hospital from 4 months of my pregnancy till I gave birth.
Yeah.
And so she's my miracle child. But
That's so good. I mean, I'm always in awe at what God does, you know, in certain situations, especially like miracles like that happen.
It's a true miracle. I mean, we're both living, and I tell her all the time, Mandy, you have a purpose. You know, there is a reason, and this is, you know, God spared you for your talents that He's given you.
Yeah.
And she does. She sings. She writes. She's, you know.
Yeah.
She's just, she's amazing. They all are. They all have their, their giftings from God and their ways, and I'm a blessed mom.
Yeah. I'm so, like, in awe because, you know, I'm sitting here with Bernie Menchaca and Pamela here as well, but, you know, what I'm getting from the two of them, from the two of you, is really, like, big jewels of wisdom, and the biggest jewel of wisdom is to forgive. And that's the biggest thing. That's so such sweet people. And I just, the amount of things that you guys have been through and the ability to forgive as big as you do shows the love and the depth that you have for God.
Yeah, and it's because of Him. Only through Him could we do that.
Yeah.
In our natural self, you know, it wouldn't be so easy. Mm-hmm. I don't think we could even do it, honestly, because if God forgave us and He continues to forgive us, you know, when we make mistakes or things, then why can't we, you know?
Yeah.
And when you realize who you're fighting against and who's really attacking you, then it makes it much easier because it's not per se the person or the circumstance. Mm. There's a real enemy, and he's seeking whom he may devour. He is, you know, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And when you have that understanding that, but God has more power.
Yeah.
You know, and He's a forgiving God, and we're to be Christ-like, so we have to forgive. And it's a much happier life. Trust me, you know, if you're all bitter and angry about this and that, and, you know, your life is just, you're like, you're miserable.
Yeah.
But when you can really totally release everything, I mean, everything, we have to, and we have to do it daily, then, you know, it's a much happier life. You have peace, you have joy, you have faith, you have all those things that God is about. So, I would much rather be where I am than to be stuck in where I was, you know,
for sure.
Where I am today.
Yeah. Wow. That's so incredible. I'm just so blessed today. You shared a little bit about, you know, your upbringing, and a little bit about your dad, a little bit about your mom. We talked a little bit about Amanda. You talked about your children. You have three children.
Yes, three living. Yes, one with Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amanda, Chad, and Leslie.
Yeah.
Leslie's my oldest.
Yeah.
And then Chad, who is my wonderful son that I live in Alabama with.
Yeah.
I'm Nana Nanny to my two of my grandchildren, Charlie and Luca. And it's amazing. there's another, you know, how we help each other as a family.
Mm-hmm.
They help me and I help them. And I tell everybody I have the best job ever.
Yeah.
You know, watching my grandsons and,
Sons are great. I have to say, I have a son and I mean, you know, he's stuck by me like, you know, just kids, he just really stuck by me. He just can't, you know, be more than more hype. I can't be happy enough with that. It's just a blessing. But you have some stuff you want to share with us.
Yes, I do. Well, I want to get back to my mother.
Share
bringing,
with us. Yeah.
Bringing us girls up in church. Mm-hmm. And I was what they called the black sheep of the family at one point, you know. I came to a rebellious state in my life, and I was done with God, and I thought I knew everything, and, you know, I told my parents I hated them, and I hated God, and, you know, I left home at the age of, I think I was 19, and I went to live with a cousin up north in the Tulare, Fresno area, I went to a house where my cousin lived, and it was a drug house.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't know until I got there, but I was at that state in my life where I was a follower. That's what got me where I was, you know, telling my parents I hated them and I hated God because I started getting around the wrong people.
Yeah.
And following their ways and went completely away from the ways that my mom was training me up to, you know, to be. So I get to this house, and it's obviously a drug house. They're shooting heroin.
Oh,
they're,
gosh.
You know, people are coming and going.
Yeah.
And I was begging them to let me participate in that. And they wouldn't.
Wow.
They wouldn't, I mean, the drug dealer that, and the people that were doing the drugs, my cousin, they're like, no, we can't. For some reason, there was, you know, I didn't understand about it until later on. And anyways, so it was a party house. We'd go up into the Sequoias, drive up for the day, and we'd be partying all day. And I remember this one day, we were coming down the mountain, and it was a 2-lane road. You know, and I remember seeing a truck coming at us.
Oh, gosh.
And, I just yelled the name Jesus.
Yeah.
That's all I knew to do. Just say his name, and that truck disappeared. I don't know what happened to that truck, but that was one thing. And then we get down the mountain, and, we're, you know, partying some more. We crash out on a couch, and the next morning there was a knock at the door. And I'm like, they answered the door, and it was my mother.
Oh my goodness.
And she's like, you know, I come to take my daughter home. We want you to come home. And I was like, no, I'm not coming home. I'm not, you know.
Mm.
And again, the partiers, the sinners, they're like, you just need to go talk with your mom. She'll bring you back. Just go talk with her. Needless to say, I did. 10 minutes later, I'm packing my stuff to go home.
Oh, my goodness.
And
that's incredible.
And remember I told you that my dad wasn't saved. He didn't have a, you know, a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know the extent of what took place at home before my mom came to get me. I know my dad said, let her go, leave her alone. Well, I found out that they kind of argued, you know, about it. My dad was unhappy, but my mom said, I have to go. The Lord told me I have to go get her.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I know that feeling really good.
My mom always knew, because she was a praying mom.
Yeah.
She always knew where I was.
Yeah.
She'd always come find me wherever I was, and I would even ask her, how did you know where I was? She's like, you know, God showed me.
Yeah.
And being a mom now, I understand all that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we get home, and I remember my dad, the look on his face was like unbelief, you know, like, pinch me, is this happening? Well, it wasn't long after that that my father went to church with us.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And it was at Maywood Church.
Yeah.
Pastor Neville, Michael Neville, was pastoring, and it was around New Year's, and he asked my father, oh, no, my father got saved. I'm sorry, I'll back up. He got saved in a service at Maywood. And then come around New Year's, we always had a New Year's Eve service, and I remember him asking my father, you know, Don Smith, what is your New Year's resolution? And he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And it was because he seen God's hand.
Wow.
You know, through my mom's prayers and my mom telling him that God told him to come and get me, that showed him that there is a God. And that's how he came to know the Lord. And not long after that, my dad passed away at 48 years old of a heart attack, but he was ready to be with the Lord.
Wow.
He's with the Lord as well. And then a few years later, my mom gets cancer. And at this time, I'm pastor's wife in Hawaii.
Yeah.
We're pastoring in Hawaii. And she's in California. And she got very sick and was in the hospital. And our church paid for me to come out to California to see her.
Yeah.
I had a decision to make whether I wanted to be with her when she was alive or be at the funeral. And my decision was to be with her when she's alive, you know. And so they sent me to California, and I spent a couple weeks with her. She ended up going in the hospital right before I had to go back home.
Yeah.
You know, I had my church there, my precious children. And so I went back home, and then 2 weeks later, we got the call that she was really dying, like she's on her last breath.
Yeah.
And my heart was torn because, you know, it's my mom. I talk to my mom every day on the phone, and I wanted to be there. And the church got together and paid my way so I could be out there again for her. And I took the red eye flight out, flew all night. I went to my friend's house, put my stuff away, and I went straight to the hospital. And she was in a semi-coma. And Sister Neville was in the room with me, and I was like, I don't know what to do. I just felt helpless, you know. She goes, start singing. Because she loves to hear you sing. And she started patting her leg when I was singing.
Precious.
And then I just felt like she was holding on, you know, for a reason.
Yeah.
You know how you can just, I've heard that since before, but I felt that so strong.
Yeah.
And I have three sisters, and at the time I think my oldest sister was serving God, but the other two weren't. They were backslidden. And I know she was worried about us girls, and she was worried about them. The black sheep of the family, who's now a pastor's wife, in my mother's hospital room, I led my sisters back to the Lord. And my mom passed away almost immediately after that. So.
That gave her peace.
Yes. That's exactly what it was. She just wanted to make sure that we were going to be okay, and all of us are serving God today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to give you a couple scriptures that, with this, that backs up the story.
Sure.
In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you there in the belly, I knew thee. And before thee camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. In Jeremiah 29:11 it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, an unexpected end.
Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. The Greek word for without ceasing is adeliophios, which doesn't mean nonstop. Actually, it means constantly reoccurring. In everything we should give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the last thing I want to leave with you is, if you train up your children in the ways of the Lord when they're small,
mm-hmm.
the Bible says they won't depart when they're old.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm a living testimony of that. My mom did train me in the ways of the Lord when I was small.
Yeah.
You know, it's not to say that we're not going to, they might not walk away. We have a lot of prodigals out there right now.
Yeah.
Sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. And, but I'm going to believe God with you, and you believe God that He's going to bring them back.
Amen.
He's going to bring them back. He cares about them more than we ever could, you know, loves them like He loves us.
Yeah, definitely. That, you know, when you're sharing about this topic, there's a lot of, in your body language, there's a lot of passion, there's a lot of concern, a lot of caring in that. And if you don't mind, I really would like you to pray for some of those prodigal sons out there, or children, because I do believe there's a lot of people out there. You know, I'm so grateful that my kids are all doing good, you know.
Yeah.
There's been a big turnaround. You know, I'm not a perfect person.
No, we're not perfect.
And bringing up children, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. We don't always do things the right way, but it's the honesty that our children need. The ability to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, you know, I shouldn't have done it like that, or something, you know. And for those parents out there that have lost, you know, children that are out there doing their thing, that they feel left out.
Yeah.
Why did their children get to be good? How come their children are now doing well? Why can't that happen for my child? It can happen for your child.
It can
through prayer.
Amen. Yes. Yes, Father God, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, and we know, Lord God, who you are and what you're about, Lord. We know that for our children, Lord God, that are out there, Lord God, that once knew you, or and they're not serving you now, Lord. Mm-hmm. We know, Father God, that through faith, believing, and through our example, and through our prayers, Lord God, that nothing is impossible with you. And we are just claiming right now, this moment, Father God, for those prodigals, for mm-hmm. those children, Lord God. You would send someone their way, Father God, that they would listen to, and that they would can relate to, and that they would understand, Father God, the importance that they need you, Lord God, in their life. There really is no life without you. It's lies, it's deceit, it's ugly, but life with you is beautiful. Yes, we are going to go through things, Father God, but mm-hmm. when we have you to go through them with us, Lord God, and to help us, Lord God, it's amazing. And I just pray over each and every parent right now, Lord, yes. that have those children, Lord, that they're mm-hmm. praying for, that they won't give up, Father God, they won't lose their faith, that they would just trust you and believe, God, that their children will soon return, Lord God, soon, Lord, back into your loving arms, Lord, and have a good relationship with you, Lord. And we thank you for this, Lord. We praise you. We give you all honor and glory, because you are almighty, and you are powerful, and you are loving, and your grace and your mercy is sufficient, and we thank you for it.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. So good, Pamela. So good. Before we end, I want to ask you, you know, since the name of the my live, whatever it's called, is called Heart of the City, yes. San Diego, what does Heart of the City mean to you? What would that mean to you? Being the heart of the city.
That would just mean that we would have compassion.
Yeah.
You know, for the people in our city.
Yeah.
And we'd be loving, you know, and we would reach out to the hurting, to the homeless, you know, to the people that maybe have mental problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just be there. Just show ourselves available and, you know, have compassion.
Amen.
And pray for our cities, you know.
Yes.
We desperately need prayer for our leaders, for, you know, our city leaders, our worldwide leaders. They need prayer. They need our prayer.
Yeah.
And, just be available.
Amen.
You know, and use your giftings that God has given you.
Yeah.
You know, it just could be a hello to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you look beautiful today, you know.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's what we need to be sensitive to those things.
Yeah.
And be available.
That's awesome. Really, really good stuff. Anything else you want to share before we close?
No, I just had a great time.
Awesome.
I was so happy to be It was nice. And thank you all for watching and, you know, being with us.
Pamela Stevens, everybody. She's a rock star.
Superstar Gloria. Yay.
With that said, we're going to peace out. Peace out.
Peace out.